Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we're going to recap the Oscars. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. I am here with Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
We are actually on site at South by Southwest, the film festival, which is why we don't sound as sexy as we normally do. So, how's it going? You good?
It's going great. Yeah. We've had a really good time so far at South by Southwest. It's always a great time, but... also, could we maybe not have the Oscars happen during South by Southwest?
It's the second time. This is bullshit. I don't like it. This is
dumb. I'm going to riot.
I mean, you have a major film festival going at this time. I don't understand. The Oscars are like, no, we're better than everyone else.
Literally, Ryan Gosling had to change things for the festival.
And I'm glad he did, because it was an awesome performance.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that first. So we're going to recap all the winners from the start of the show to the Best Picture winner. And I just want to kind of ask, in terms of Oscars of the past, just right up there, do you like that the hour changed? They moved the show back an hour? We're not going to have any edits because we're, like I said, freaking traveling. So you deal with what you get. So what did you think about the hour change? A lot of people were happy about it, that the Oscars got done earlier.
I think it's good that they're doing that just because... the Oscars tend to run over.
It's always do.
It's like a guarantee that they're going to run over, and it's already a very lengthy event. So yeah, I liked that they did that. Would have been cool if I could have experienced the true value of it, but
I just love people kept messaging me all night long, going, "Man, the Oscars are really short this year." I'm like, "No, they were an hour earlier." Like, it's just because you're usually 10:30, 11:30, depending on what time zone you're in. So. Jimmy Kimmel, it's like, I think, the fourth time he's been a host. What'd you think of Jimmy Kimmel?
I like him. He had some good, funny jokes in there. I don't think that he does anything incredibly different. He seems to have, like, his own structure and methodology of how he's going to lead the Oscars and then just creates new jokes for the year.
Speaking of hosts, I introduced myself.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, man.
We went through this. Are you okay? Are you delirious?
Tired. I'm so tired. You don't get much sleep out here. Yeah, he's good. I do think he really, when he came out for his monologue, he had some cheap jokes, like Robert Downey Jr.'s way, he was a drug addict, a long time ago, that kind of stuff. And it's just like, it's been done, man. It's not funny anymore. And don't get me wrong, I think Robert Downey Jr., though I love him, has his head firmly up his own ass, but... on the same token, the guy's done the work. He's kind of made the advances. He's done better. He's changed his entire life. How about we give him a break on that?
You're welcome, Marvel.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's just silly that we're still making those jokes in 2024. It's just not funny anymore.
That's fair.
So, but otherwise, I thought he did pretty well. I love the John Cena bit.
Hilarious.
That was fantastic. And there are only maybe two or three guys in that room that could have done that, The Rock being one of them. I mean,
Jason Momoa.
Not anymore. No, Jason Momoa is full dad bod. Jason Momoa, he's eating the sandwiches at catering.
That's all I love him. That's adorable.
No, but Cena, you look glorious, man. And I'll give you credit.
He does. He keeps up. Yeah.
I give him credit. Yeah. He went out. That was putting yourself out there. Like,
what do you think the setup was? Because he really had it low.
The 50-year anniversary to the streak.
No, the setup to cover his junk.
Oh, I'm sure he had a ball sack. I can't remember the terminology right now because I'm tired.
Basically a thong?
No, there is a terminology in filmmaking. I just can't remember the name of it right now because everybody's shouting at the radio. But this is what happens when you have not literally slept. So... I'm doing the best I can, but there is something that you put to cover your private parts and you're making movies.
Barely looks like there was something there. Impressive
there
costume design. That's all I'm saying.
I'm sure his wife's happy, Okay. One thing that was of note. So Troy Heinrichs, who's not on this episode, he brought this up and it's a good point, Troy has, occasionally he has a good point.
You hear me, Troy? Occasionally.
So he brought up that, the Super Bowl you can watch wherever you want, whenever you want, basically when it comes out. But the Oscars, you have to have either access directly to ABC or an ad-free tier, apparently, because the ad-supported tiers...
For cable.
You basically have to have cable.
Yeah.
Yeah, to watch it. And I thought that was interesting. You can't watch it on, like, just... you know, bring up Hulu. I mean, you could do a trial. You could do a free trial, like 14-day trial if you want to watch it. But there is no, just throw it up on the screen, immediate access, and you just have to deal with some commercials if you don't already have ABC. And I don't know. You think that's right or wrong?
I wish it were more accessible, but I've felt that way for several years because as we've gotten away from cable, it's bizarre to me that the Oscars are the only thing that seem to, other than sports, but now we have alternatives for sports. It seems to be like the only big event left that doesn't have capability and access through other platforms.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I just think it's a celebration of filmmaking and you want people to celebrate movies and enjoy the movies that you're making, then you make it available for everyone.
Also super ironic considering a lot of these movies like went to, I mean, eventually they obviously were in theaters, but also premiered on streaming platforms and are available on streaming platforms and we're migrating to streaming platforms, but we're not going to use the streaming platforms.
Well, as I've always said, whenever there's a societal norm, Hollywood loves to be talking about it, but always also loves to be the last ones doing anything about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so you know. Me too says hi. So bringing back the five previous Oscar winners to announce the present one, that's something that has been done in the past, but I think if you don't watch the show every year, you might not have seen it before. But it's a really cool concept, and I love that they brought that back. I wish they did that every single year because, that, number one, it gives previous winners the ability to come back and say, hey, I won. Remember me? You know? And then also the ability for the person getting the Oscar to see their fellow winners. And just, I don't know, it's kind of an honor thing. And I think it makes it elevates the Oscars to a more elegant event, taking out John Cena streaking across the stage.
Technically, he didn't streak across the stage.
Sure.
Okay. Technically, he presented sans clothing.
All right. So, five previous Oscar winners. Do you like that concept?
I love that concept. I do also wish that they did that more because it's to your point where you're saying how it's elegant and you have all of that, you know, connection, bringing the previous winners back to the forefront of our minds. It reminds us of what movies that we were so beloved the year before. But the thing that I really like the most about it is it's a very intimate connection point between the nominees. So everybody gets a little bit of that inclusivity and the winners from the year before. And so I really like that just where it's like we're speaking heart to heart from one nominee or winner to another.
Yeah, I love it. I wish we did more of it.
Yeah.
And something I wish we did more of, I'm going to get there and just let me explain. There were some great performances. Becky G did The Fire Inside. You had the Osage choir, the Osage singers, I apologize, went out there with Scott George for the song from Killers of the Flower Moon. You had John Batista. You had some great talent out there. Mm-hmm. Billie Eilish, I thought, crushed it. Very, very elegant delivery. Yeah. There's that word again. Very, very classy. Loved the pink. It was everywhere. It was a beautiful performance. She did wonderful. She deserved to win. I have no problem with that. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. But really, I just want to say, I don't care who took home gold. Ryan Gosling won the Oscars. He just won them. He won them. I haven't smiled that much at an Oscar performance in years. Probably since Billy Crystal used to do his opening montages, which that was a long time ago. That's aging myself quite a bit, but that was the most fun I've had watching the Oscars in years. And he just went out there and crushed it.
He absolutely did. Yeah, I don't think that there is a single performance, no slander, no hate. I think everybody did wonderful. But he really did just take it to another level. The choreography.
He made it a concert, man.
He did. He really, really did. They had pyrotechnics at the Oscars. Isn't that wild? And he was so funny about it in the moment where he starts sitting behind Margot and then he takes the cameraman by hand onto the stage. Like,
kisses
come
hand.
With me. Yeah. Hilarious. He is so charming and has such a, I don't know, vibrance to him.
And he seems humble, which is nice.
He's just having fun.
I don't know if it's true. Maybe he's the most arrogant guy ever, but it's really nice to see somebody just humble.
Yeah.
He's just Ken. I don't think that's a compliment. I don't think it's a compliment you think
I'm sorry. I take that back, Ryan. I rescind it.
But kudos, because I know a lot of people were excited to see him perform, and he delivered. He did. All right, so let's go to some awards and recap the winners. I mean, you know, I honestly think our nominations episode, if you want to hear us go in depth into every nominee, then that's where you would want to listen to it. But here we're just going to recap the winners. So best visual effects, we're going to start there. And, you know, the nominees, The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, and Napoleon. All great films. Well, except Napoleon. Mostly good, mostly great films. but Godzilla Minus One won.
Uh-huh.
So it won one?
It won one.
It won one.
It's plus one. It's Godzilla plus one.
Godzilla Minus One plus one.
Absolutely deserving.
Absolutely.
I loved that movie. Awesome. I'm so excited.
The effects were phenomenal. Phenomenal.
They deserve, I like the way you said that.
Yeah, I'm so glad. All right, moving on to the best sound. You got The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest. And this is a big surprise.
Huge.
The Zone of Interest won. The movie cost $4 to make. And it beat out Oppenheimer, who is the favorite for literally everything.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Very surprised by that. I wonder if Christopher Nolan at that point started throwing things around like, I'm going to lose it all today. I'm going to lose it.
He's like, I work so hard to mess up the sound in all of my movies.
Yeah. Here's a hint. Maybe if we could hear people talking sometimes, maybe that would be better. I don't know. But no, that was a huge surprise.
Yeah,
huge surprise. And again, I should know, poor Bradley Cooper. He's 0 for 27 or something at this point. I don't know what the number is, but he has not won an Oscar yet. I know there's been a lot of articles about him, because Maestro was part of that too. There's been a lot of articles about him chasing an Oscar. I don't think any of them are fair. I haven't seen him do anything anyone else hasn't done in the history of trying to win an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever, man. Leave Bradley alone.
Seriously, this man brings his mother with him to the Oscars every year. Leave him alone.
Also kind of means that maybe you can't get a date. What's going on there, Brad?
You think he can't get a date?
No, I don't.
Brad, I'll be your date. I got you.
I did like Jimmy.
I got you, sweetheart.
Jimmy Kimmel's joke. How many times does it take before you're actually dating your mother? I'm like, I can't decide if it's funny or just awful. But I laughed. Best film editing, Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I'm sorry. You can't give Killers of the Flower Moon editing. I'll say this as many times as I can. If the movie's 3.5 hours, you didn't edit well.
You didn't edit at all.
Just didn't. Yeah. You just threw it together.
Speaking of, real quick, the average time that for movies last year was well beyond 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That they mention it. And I'm like, can we please, I agree with the sentiment here. Can we please lower that? Can we please try some editing?
It would be cool.
Yeah, I would appreciate it.
And also, Oppenheimer's editor is named Jennifer Lame. Oh, that's a lame name.
This, you stop, because you know she got picked on her whole life.
I know.
Especially if she was around in like the 80s or 90s.
And I'm going to let it go then. I'm going to walk away like a man. Best production design, Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I remember when we did the nominations episode, I said it was between Barbie and Poor Things because those are the two films that really created entire worlds of their own, like very unique worlds. They weren't recreating anything. They created a completely new world. And I would have been fine with either one of those winners. So I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Best original score. So the score gets a win, but the sound does not. That's interesting. Because they're different. I get it. American Fiction, Indiana Jones, The Dial of Destiny. I'm just glad John Williams is 300 years old and he's still here. Killers of the Flower Moon and Oppenheimer and Poor Things. Oppenheimer won, of course. Ludwig Göransson, he won for really, it's a powerful score.
It really is. Yeah.
So, I mean, I have no issue with that. None. Okay, and then you have Best Original Song. We already talked, The Fire Inside from Flaming Hot, I'm Just Ken from Barbie, It Never Went Away from American Symphony.
I'm just Ken. Every time I hear it, I just want to sing it.
Wazahasi from Killers of the Flower Moon and What Was I Made For? And the winner was What Was I Made For? Billie Eilish and Finneas O'Connell. I think people were not surprised, but it sure seemed like Billie Eilish was.
Yeah.
I mean, she's won before. She now has more Oscars than Martin Scorsese, bitches. How about that?
I saw somebody get mad about that. I'm like, you realize they're different categories, right?
Don't care. She's got more gold than Martin Scorsese. I'm sure he's produced, though. He's got more Oscars than that, but still. Then for his specific category, she's got more.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that. But she seemed very humble, and there's that word again. I just really liked I like her.
She is.
She's very cool.
And she gave a really cool tribute to
the teacher that hated her.
The teacher that hated her. She sucked, apparently. I don't know. But I loved.
She might have been an asshole.
Maybe she was.
She looks like a little rebel. You
know? She was. She probably was. But she also gave a shout out to Taylor Swift, who helped like inspire her when she was like 11 years old.
Of course, we have to mention the Swift. Can't go an episode without mentioning the Swift.
I'm just here for March 15th, okay?
What's
Disney
March
15th? Plus. Oh, when her movie comes out on gotcha. Disney Plus. But no. Seriously, I think it was really cool. We're talking about a year of Barbie that significantly influenced girls and women to be themselves and do their thing. And this shout out to Taylor Swift was about when Taylor had won and she was talking to the audience and said something about to all of the people, there's a girl sitting at a piano who's going to be, you know, receiving an award at some point. And I think it was for the Grammys possibly, but anyway, Billie Eilish was listening to that. She heeded that. She was 11 years old. She sits at a piano. And for that, I thought it was very timely because of Barbie. Sure. And I thought it was really cool. That's why I wanted to mention it.
It's worth mentioning.
Uh-huh.
Very beautiful.
It feels like it.
Yeah. Did something move me. Best makeup and hairstyling. Golda didn't get it. Maestro.
Bronza maybe would have been better.
Yeah. Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Society of the Snow. And Poor Things won, again, understood it. I mean,
yeah.
Just the costume, the production design, the makeup. I mean, it was all.
It was pretty intricate.
It was very fantastic.
Yeah.
Really was. Also won costume design, Poor Things. Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. And Poor Things won. And I got to say, I mean, again, that's one where I would put it between Poor Things and Barbie. They made their own unique worlds. Look, it's nothing against the other ones, but they're all historical. Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer.
You have
historical.
Something to rely on.
Yeah, have something to look at and say, I need to make that.
I'm inspired by this.
To me, that's nowhere near as impressive as creating a world and creating a look. Now, Barbie, you could say, well, they lifted some of that from, you know, Barbie dolls. Most of it was. I get it. But they also have to make it real.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot more complicated. Now, Poor Things pulled it right out of their ass. And, you know, just like Robert Downey Jr.'s attitude most of the time.
And,
so I'm getting.
Are you proud of that? Waking up.
I am proud of that one. And I'm not throwing shade on it. I love Downey Jr. He is getting a little full of himself, you know, and he was already really full of himself. So it used to be adorable. Now it's kind of annoying, but you've also had an award circuit where he keeps winning. So he's constantly giving awards over.
Getting
and over.
Accolades.
I should be fair. He's also been very humble. And thanking people that have been there for him along the way. And I thought, you know, that's very...
Including his makeup artist.
Yes. I take out the word humble. I do not mean the word humble for him. But he's been very appreciative of the people that helped him along the way.
Yes. Grateful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Humble, he is not.
that's the one person we should probably take that out for.
He literally is Tony Stark now.
Mm-hmm.
Best cinematography? Well, he's the live version because Tony Stark's dead. Sorry, in case you didn't know. Best cinematography, El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. This is where Oppenheimer said, no, this is ours, and took an award back from Poor Things. Because I think up until that point, you start thinking, well, Poor Things is going to take this, man. It's going to sweep.
Right.
Could have been an upset, but we don't get many upsets here at the old Oscars anymore. It's usually because you have so many awards now, I think you can figure out roughly who's going to win long before you get there.
I mean, generally, most of us can figure out before the award show even starts who's going to win.
Most of us, yeah.
That's how predictable they tend to be.
I mean, we didn't even do an Oscar contest this year, and I apologize to all the listeners because we've done it every year for 10 years, and this year, it's just there's so much going on we couldn't get to it. I really do apologize. But you would have got it. The only thing that ever decides the winners are documentary short films.
Right.
And stuff like that. Like, that's always what
animated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty well. Speaking of best documentary short film, the ABCs of Book Burning. Nope, Book Banning. Same thing. The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, and Nai Nai and Waipo. And the winner was The Last Repair Shop. And boy, we all saw that coming, right? Yeah? Just a shocker.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Right with you.
Didn't watch it. All right. Best live action short film, The After, Invincible, Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. And Henry Sugar won. I'm assuming.
Oh, Wes Anderson.
They probably voted for it just because Wes Anderson's name's in it. You know? I don't know. That's not fair. Sure. Best animated short film, Letter to a Pig. Oh, I didn't know where. Talking about X's in this thing. All right, 99 cents.
You're savage.
Our uniform. I can't say the word.
Pachyderm.
Okay, I've heard it both ways. War is over. Inspired by the music of John and Yoko, and that one. I don't think so. I think they should do a re-over
for Letter to a Pig.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah. I wasn't.
You don't know any of these, do you?
I don't at all. I don't. Shorts, I don't watch shorts. It's just not an aspect of film. It's not that I don't appreciate it. I'm on a film fest. I'm a film selection committee chair. I just skip the shorts.
You're being humble. Look at you. Robert Downey Jr. should take a note. He's the vice president of the film festival.
Yeah. But shorts are not my thing, so I try to stay away from them. Best international feature film. It's nothing against shorts, I should say that. I think they're an important pathway to feature filmmaking. It's just I watch so many features that shorts rarely capture the same amount of depth that every once in a while you're surprised, though.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
I've seen some good ones.
Mm-hmm. Best international feature film. El Capitano, Perfect Days, Society of the Snow, The Teacher's Lounge, and The Zone of Interest. And I remember on the Nations episode, I said The Zone of Interest, this is The Zone of Interest to lose because they're not going to win Best Picture. I would be very surprised by that. But they're a shoe-in for international feature film. And by God, they were. They won.
Mm-hmm.
So good for them.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one yet?
No, I haven't.
It was really, really morbid and dark.
Love that.
It's basically like, we live next to Auschwitz and let's...
Oh.
Mm. Sandra Hüller, man. She is great.
Phenomenal. Yeah,
she's
that's what I've heard.
Got a career to watch. Career to watch. Best documentary feature film, Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters. That's a lot. To Kill a Tiger and 20 Days in Mirpool. And that's the one that won. So congratulations to them. Now, best animated feature, The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And the winner was Miyazaki's The Boy and the Heron. I mean, I get it. You know, he's beloved in terms of animation. And I think Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse really suffered because it ended on a cliffhanger.
I think so, too.
And it didn't even have a cliffhanger where it felt like a complete film in many ways. It feels like half of a film. It's kind of hard to win that way.
This was really, you know, Elemental had an opportunity in here. But it was really between The Boy and the Heron and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. But I think you're right. I mean, in terms of if we were talking about the effects and just looking at that, of course, I think we would go with Spider-Man. But when we're talking about the film as a whole, it's hard to say that a very incomplete story is deserving of best film because does it stand on its own?
Right.
Not really.
Best Writing Original Screenplay. All right. The nominees were Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May December, and Past Lives. And it's worth noting. So The Holdovers, right? This just came out literally the day before the awards were announced. So the awards are locked. The nominees are locked. Everything's locked. And then this comes out that Alexander Payne's The Holdovers was accused of plagiarism by the writer of Luca, Simon Stevenson. Apparently on January 12th, he went to the Writers Guild of America and said, hey, I wrote this movie a while ago, and I actually dealt with the filmmakers. It was called Frisco. It was a drama centered on a world-weary middle-aged children's doctor and the 15-year-old patient he gets stuck looking after. Very similar to the world-weary, middle-aged boarding school teacher and the 15-year-old he had to take care of. And apparently the script is very, very close, so he's being sued for plagiarism. David Hemmingson is for the holdovers. So going into this, there was a lot of concern that, oh my goodness, what happens if they win?
The controversy.
Well, can you imagine? Because at that point, it's
locked.
Do you
rescind it, though? Like if all
you got to prove it.
No, but I'm saying it's proved.
I think you have to.
Right?
If plagiarism is proved?
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
I absolutely think that you should rescind it at that point. If everything comes to the conclusion, it's proven. It wins the award, which, spoiler alert, it didn't.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness.
We're in the clear.
But still, that's a big deal, man.
It's huge.
And it took so long to come to light because, keep in mind, he reported on January 12th. So nominations were going. I think they weren't quite out yet. And final voting hadn't been done yet, for sure. So there was time to address this immediately. And it doesn't sound like the Guild did that. So they need to really get their shit together.
But also in the same respect, yes, you want to bring attention to the plausibility that this is occurring, but you don't know for certain yet either.
No, but you should investigate it immediately.
Yeah.
Like, it should drop everything and be like a priority because there's somebody else that could be in that category that might deserve to be more. And I'm not saying it's true or not true. I don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows.
But somebody should know.
The point is somebody should know. I mean, that was 2 months ago when he reported it. So it isn't like it just happened.
Right.
But the winner was Anatomy of a Fall, and I'm actually really happy about that because that's a much better movie. I love The Holdovers, but Anatomy of a Fall is a better film overall. It's got a really interesting script. It's doing things that most movies aren't doing. They said it best. I don't remember who said it. It's spacing right now, but that it's a film that when it's done, you still don't know for sure if she did what she's been accused of or not. And that's the way that the film weaves in and out of the plot is just, it's fascinating. It's really so well done. And I'm glad we don't have controversy. Oscar just doesn't need that right now. I mean, they're kind of like rebuilding. It's after COVID and all that other stuff. Let's leave the controversy aside for once.
Thankfully, for the most part, this was a very chill year.
It was.
It was just a chill, fun year.
The biggest thing was that... And Jimmy Fallon actually, or Jimmy Kimmel, not Fallon, he wasn't there. Jimmy Kimmel actually addressed that Greta Gerwig wasn't nominated for director. Mm-hmm. And she, a lot of people think that she should have been. Love that they were applauding that. And he called them right out for it. Like, hey, that's your fault. You guys are the ones that voted for her.
Yeah.
So don't act like you didn't have something to do with it. Love that. I'm more okay. I still think Margot Robbie should have been nominated. I mean, she is.
Oh,
Barbie.
My God.
But Greta,
don't get me started.
Greta Gerwig should have.
Yeah.
Absolutely been nominated. And I, we can argue this all day. I don't care what anyone says. I've already got my opinion. You've got yours. But that's one of the rare occasions I would say that a snub is there.
Whoa, mark it down. Yeah,
hate that word, but that's one where I'm saying something. It's like they almost gave her the pity vote and put her in just best writing. But best writing, adapted screenplay, American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest. And you know what? I ain't mad at it. I ain't mad at Court Jefferson winning for American Fiction. It's a really great script. And I love that movie and Anatomy of a Fall, both the winners for writing. And this is nothing against Greta Gerwig. I think they wrote a fantastic script, her and Noah Baumbach. But the idea that both winners of writing were indie films, like smaller films. I think that is fantastic because Court Jefferson went up and when he won his award, he made a point to say, hey, don't make 20 or a $200 million blockbuster every time. Make 20 $10 million movies.
Yeah.
Make 20 $10 million indies and look what you can get. You look at the creds you can get. And he's right. And they don't make that gamble. Like, they're just always gambling on the massive franchise. I think if you made more quality projects that are of a much slimmer budget, and you know what, because you don't have to pay star salaries anymore, there aren't real movie stars anymore, people, very very few actors drive people into the screens like they used to. Make a really cool idea with great dialogue and a great score and a great director, that's gonna get people into the theater.
I
firmly believe it, or at least streaming it at home, whatever. So congratulations, Court Jefferson, that's fantastic. I love that. All right, Best Actress in a Supporting Role, nominees were Emily Blunt, Danielle Brooks, America Ferrera, Jodie Foster, Davine Joy Randolph. And I got to say a couple things. Number one, Emily Blunt, radiant. Daniel Brooks, loved the whole full circle commentary. I thought that was a beautiful story. America Ferrera, Rita Moreno, man.
Oh,
If you're going to have somebody, that's a legend.
Yeah,
that's
truly.
A legend. Jodie Foster is one of my favorite actresses of all time. Love that she was there. Love that she was there, nominated the same year as Robert De Niro again, and they called back to 1976. Aww. Was the last time those two were nominated together. And
gosh, she looks so good.
That was Taxi Driver, you know, so it just fantastic. And Davine Joy Randolph, who I wanted to win and did win, man, what a heartfelt speech.
Oh my gosh.
Just a beautiful speech.
Yeah.
Just absolutely, just a whole story of determination and never quit, and all the people that saw something more in her than she saw in herself. Yeah. Just a very, very, just a touching speech.
It was beautiful.
I'm happy with that win. That's what I wanted to win. So, but again, I do love that they point out each one of them, their highlights for the year, because, you know, I think it's important because, you know, four people aren't going to win. Respect them for being there, you know? And yeah, I know you can't do it for every category, but acting is the one that usually stands out for people. So, you know, do that.
Yeah. And I think it makes sense.
Speaking of Emily Blunt, her and Ryan Gosling did do a celebration of stunt performers at an award show that doesn't really celebrate stunt performers. So I just want to point out, you bitches are showing, you know what I mean? Like, we get it. You're very cognizant of the fact that you don't celebrate stunt performers. So how about just do that? Instead of, you know, making people talk about it, you actually just give them a freaking statue. I don't understand. This gets me so mad. I'm just going to go on a tangent and I got to stop. But you know what? That's the one thing where the Oscars can kiss my ass, because I'm sorry. Is that tasteless? I don't care. Still more tasteful than John Cena running around butt naked. All right.
It was very tasteful.
Not nearly as attractive.
No.
Best actor in a supporting role. Sterling K. Brown. He was fantastic in that movie.
Mm.
Robert Downey Jr. for Killers of the Flower Moon. Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon. Although it would have been different if Robert Downey Jr.
Quite different.
Yeah.
Quite different.
You would have known he was the bad guy 5 minutes in. Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, obviously. Ryan Gosling, who I wanted to win for Barbie. And Mark Ruffalo. Robert Downey Jr. won, you know, and he gave a nice speech. There was some scuttlebutt on the internet because when he ran on stage, he grabbed the award from Ki-Hai Kwan and didn't really acknowledge him. And people were saying he slighted Ki-Hai Kwan. I think Robert Downey Jr. lives in his own area code, and he just was ready. He was doing his thing.
Yeah.
I don't think there was any personal slight there.
I don't think it's personal. I think it's just RDJ. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that guy's just always on something. No, that's not nice.
No. You can't make those jokes.
I just said that you can't make those jokes.
What are you doing?
Oh my God. I should go to hell. That's what I should do.
I think you're probably already going.
I've already got my room reserved.
Yeah.
Best actress in a leading role. Annette Bening for Naiad. Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon. Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, which was my choice. Carrie Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things. Emma Stone, very surprised to win. I know there's a lot of talk because it was the first time Lily Gladstone, that a Native American had been nominated for Best Actress. And there were a lot of people excited to make history. And you and I were having this conversation, and I was telling you, this is just my opinion, all right? It's not Amanda's. I feel very strongly that it should never go to legacy. It shouldn't go to being a first of anything. It should go to the best performance always. Otherwise, it kind of takes away from the whole point of the award. This is my opinion. So the fact that Emma Stone won, if that's the best performance, so be it. I do think of those four nominees, she gave the best performance. I think if you see Poor Things, I didn't even like Poor Things. I don't even like that movie. Like, I'm never going to watch it again. But she was fantastic, which is hard. Why wouldn't the movie be fantastic? I just didn't like the story, just didn't do much for me. But her journey, like everything she did, it was too long, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like it was way over. It should have been edited. There should have been an editor on stage. But she was wonderful. I mean, she really went outside of her comfort zone. She put herself out there in mind, body, and soul. It was a wonderful performance. Lily Gladstone did a great job. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think she's better than Emma Stone. And that's just how I think it should
be. In terms of the performance.
In terms of the performance, yeah. But so many
people... I just don't want someone to take your words out of context.
Well, they're going to. I mean, people, you know... It's nothing. I think it's fantastic that a Native American was nominated, and it should have happened a long time ago. Absolutely. I have no problem with that. I just don't like the mindset that, number one, we should give it to, like, Annette Bening's in here. She's been nominated. I don't remember. I don't think she's won, right? This is, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm just saying, use it for an example, right? You've got a long-standing actor that's appreciated, been nominated. And a lot of times people will say, well, I hope they win because they deserve it. For all the work they've done. I don't agree with that. I don't care how many things they've done. They should win because of this year, period. It's the same thing, I think, in every category. Shouldn't be for first, shouldn't be for legacy. It should always be for the performance.
Yeah. Otherwise, Leo would have had something a lot sooner.
Who?
Leo? Leonardo DiCaprio?
Oh, they said Aaliyah. I'm like, Aaliyah? For Romeo Must Die? she was on her way, though. She was. I loved Aaliyah.
Oh, yeah, she was.
Okay, well, congrats to Emma Stone. Great speech. Sorry that her dress broke.
She had me in tears.
Well, she even looked like she wanted Lily Gladstone to win and have that acknowledgement and be the first Native American. And I get that. I do. But she was very humble again.
Oh, my gosh. We've got to find you a synonym.
I need a new word. Yeah, synonym for humble.
Siri, what's a synonym for humble?
So anyway, so what did you think? Why did that move you so much, I guess?
It was mostly her demeanor. It was the fact that she herself was so unassuming. She was so appreciative. She was hilarious. Oh, my gosh. Especially with her dress. She's like, don't look at my dress. Don't look at my dress. It's broken. And the fact that she... I don't know. I always love when they don't have like a really great speech prepared and they just kind of wing it.
Me too.
Yeah. Because then it shows to me like, oh, you really, really didn't expect this to happen. And it just makes it a much more powerful moment than like probably Robert Downey Jr. was like, yeah, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to grab that trophy. I'm going to say what I got to say. Thank my makeup artist. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to head out.
He had it all worked out in his head.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah. She definitely was very surprised. Best actor in a leading role, which honestly, there's some great talent in all these categories, but this one in particular, I didn't know who it was going to be, even though I knew Cillian Murphy was the front runner. Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. All wonderful performances, legitimately. But Cillian Murphy won. Thought he gave a very, very sweet speech. And classy. He's a very classy guy.
Yeah, he is.
He's a very sweet guy. I like him a lot. And it's kind of funny because, I mean, he's really been the indie actor for most of his career. And all of a sudden, you know, he did A Quiet Place Part 2. He did 20 Days Later, but that was an indie horror movie. So he's really been an indie actor, like, his whole career. So it's just wild that he does a couple studio movies and bam, now he's got Best Actor.
Yeah. But he deserved it. It was a phenomenal performance.
He also has that Matthew McConaughey thing, my opinion, where he lost so much weight for Oppenheimer, like Matthew McConaughey did for Dallas Buyers Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's recovered from it. Like, it's very unhealthy to lose that much weight.
Why have we not had this discussion in Hollywood as to the methodology in which we have people go to extremes of their body.
Yeah, and I don't mean that as some kind of like, well, he looked this or that. That's not what I'm not judging him. He's a beautiful man. I'm just saying you can tell the difference in his face.
The impact it's had on him.
The impact on his face. And I just don't think we need to do that in this day and age. And it's just not healthy for actors to do that. Best directing, Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall. Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon. Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer. Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things. And by the way, Jimmy Kimmel, that Yorgos joke sucked. That was the worst damn joke ever. Jonathan Glazer, The Zone of Interest. And this is where Greta Gerwig should have been. Sorry, Jonathan Glazer.
Yes, she should have.
Sorry. Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer. No big surprise, but
no.
Well deserved. I mean, he made that film. That film looks so CGI heavy, and it's practical. That's amazing.
It's beautiful. It is a beautiful film, but absolutely, Greta deserved to be here.
Yep, just need to be in the conversation. Didn't say she had to win, But congrats, Christopher Nolan. I think we've loved him for a long time. Sometimes he makes things that don't make any damn sense. And apparently now he's cool with just saying, you know what? They don't always have to make sense. All right. It'd be cool if it did, though, right?
I like Christopher Nolan.
Love him. Love him and the wife and the appreciation he expresses for his wife at all times. Mm. Very, very lovely guy. Best Picture nominees, American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest. 10 nominees is ridiculous, but
we love it. Hey, at least we get Barbie in here now.
Yeah, that's probably the only way I was going to get there. And don't get me wrong, I don't think Barbie should have won, but it just should have been in the conversation, you know? I mean, it was the most talked about movie of the year for a lot of people.
And it was a beautiful film. It was a beautiful film.
By the way, I liked that Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt went at each other over Barbenheimer. I thought that was
cool. That was hilarious. that was hilarious.
That was funny. That's
his,
the kind of
his joke was on point. Riding the coattails of Barbie.
And so true. I'm sorry, Oppenheimer fans, but Oppenhomies, is that what they're called?
Oppenhomies. Yeah, I like that.
That movie would not have been that successful had it not been part of that. I'm sorry. I just don't think it would have been. But the winner was Oppenheimer. So Oppenheimer is officially the best film of 2023, last year. What do you think about that? Out of all those nominees, are you mad at that?
No, I'm not mad at all. There are a lot of great nominees in this category, but Oppenheimer was a great film through and through, round and round. I really enjoyed it. I got a very unique screening experience of it to watch it on 70mm IMAX.
Oh, yeah.
Went through a lot to be able to see that, and it was well worth it. So I'm very happy for the producers of the film, the actors of the film, Christopher Nolan as director. I think it was very well deserving. And I'm happy that Barbie is in the conversation, at least here.
Yeah, there's a lot of great films. And honestly, I got to say, man, Maestro really walked away empty-handed. Killers of the Flower Moon, empty-handed. Just sad for them. Past Lives was in here and barely got noticed. Zone of Interest got a little bit of love. Holdovers got a little bit of love. Like, everybody got a little bit of love. But poor Bradley Cooper, once again. Always a bridesmaid.
Never the bride.
Hey, you know what? Can't win them all. I mean, if anything, I think he's proven that he is a phenomenal director on his own. And he's got that Ben Affleck problem, where Ben Affleck couldn't get nominated to save his life. And Argo won Best Picture, and Ben Affleck wasn't nominated for director. Oh, and wow. I don't even understand that logic. Like, okay, he doesn't win, but not nominated?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? It's the best movie of the year, but the guy who directed it wasn't there, I guess?
That's wild.
Oscars don't always make sense, people.
Rarely do they.
Yeah. So after this is done, it's over. Oscars are done. We recapped them all. Like I said, if you want to hear like more detail on the nominees and stuff, go listen to the nominations episode from like a month and a half ago. We really go into it there with Troy and John. This was just a recap. Plus, we're on time schedules, man. We are pressed for time. Don't have a lot of free time. We just want to make sure and get this out to you guys while we could. Any takeaways from the Oscars, like for the future, or anything you like, dislike, bring back, do it again, whatever? Bring Ryan Gosling back and do that song every year.
Yeah, please. There's one thing that we do need to talk about that we haven't talked about yet, which is the In Memoriam. Because a lot of people were feeling a little heated about it.
People were pissed about the In Memoriam.
The first thing I said was, why are we so far back? Because the camera is panned backwards and we're like panning inward. And so you can see the intention is so that way you as the viewer from home can see the musical performance that's going on stage, as well as the like dance choreography that's going on stage. Mm-hmm. In addition to,
why do we need dance choreography in a memorial?
It was supposed to be very spiritual, you know, eloquent, elegant, whatever.
Well, there's two words we got to retire after this.
Seriously.
Humble and elegant are done.
Those are the words that go into the Oscars. Yeah. But anyway, it was beautifully set up from a stage standpoint, but from like a screen viewer from home standpoint, it did make it difficult to see some of the names. But I still liked it more than how they do it in the past typically, which is where they just do like a slideshow. Like it feels like a PowerPoint presentation. Mm-hmm. So I liked this a bit more, and I liked that they had these vertical, I don't know what they were, but these vertical stands that could display simultaneously multiple people. They could rotate. It visually was very appealing. Mm-hmm. It just makes it a little bit tougher for you at home.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't as bothered by it, but I also, as soon as people start clapping, I kind of start to tune out everything that's going on and just focus on the names. But yeah, it was a little hard to see. I didn't think it was that big a deal, though, for me personally. But I also feel like In Memoriam should be something where everybody just shuts up. You play music. I don't need dance choreography because I think that's distracting from the actual memoriam portion. And just show the names on screen. And I also think everyone should get equal opportunity. So I get bigger stars are going to be on the screen a little bit longer and whatnot. But I don't know. Someone passes away, I don't think it matters how big a star they were or they weren't in that moment. It should be, you're all part of the same union. You're all in the same business. It should be very much even keel. Like you all get your 2 seconds on the screen or something and just go through it. That's how I think it should be. Because you know what? In birth and in death, we're all equal. And that's how I think it should be.
Aww.
How's that?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I will say they kickstarted with Dumbledore. We're just going to start by stabbing me in the heart. That's how we're going to start this off.
Easy.
Oh my gosh.
He was the worst Dumbledore.
You know what? Okay. We're not going to get into
pretty
this.
Terrible.
We're not going to get
Richard
into this.
Richard Harris was the, when he was on In Memoriam, boy, I got sad because he was
I
really good.
I was sad for both, but I will stab you in your sleep. This has been a great show.
Yeah, this is it. We got to get back on the streets of Austin, Texas for the South by Southwest Film Festival. This is the episode this year or for this week. There's also an interview with Leah McKendrick, who did a film Scrambled that was in the feed recently. Check that out. Inspired by a true story. We just did.
Shout out.
We just did a new episode of that podcast for The Sound of Freedom, which everyone has thoughts on that movie, so go listen
to it. Controversy.
Inspired by a true story, because we really dive into what the truth behind all of that is, including Tim Ballard. So I hope you enjoy that. Thanks for listening once again. And remember, are there anything you want to say in parting? For closing this out?
I'm just kidding.
Okay, that's weird.
You're supposed to sing with me.
I'm going to go bring the Kennergy to the streets of Austin. So you guys have a wonderful time. Thanks for listening. And remember, the next time you head to a theater or come back next week to listen to our South by Southwest episode, buy popcorn. Kennergy is tight.
I'm going to bring Barbie to the streets.
Like the doll? You're just going to walk around the little doll?
I'm going to bring the Barbie energy. Barb energy.
She doesn't get her own
Barb energy.
It's Kennergy. How many things does Barbie need to take from Ken? How many?
Oh, my God. He had everything.
Well, she took it all away.